afternoon. I just, as Dr. Madison said in the brief introduction, I'd like to share with you an opportunity that I had the good fortune to be involved with, and it was the Worth a Thousand Words project that I did at Tuxco, Tulane Xavier National Center of Excellence in Women's Health, while I was an MPH student at Tulane. Just to give a bit of layout for the presentation, what I intend to do is to give a little bit of background and try to make a case for photography as being far more than just a pastime or a hobby, but that it is a powerful potential tool for gathering strong qualitative data and can be used to potentially address some of the unique public health challenges that are threatening post-Katrina New Orleans environment today. It's in essence a project that we're going to talk about, and I'll go through the methodology, and after that we'll look at some results and discussion and future directions where we intend to go from here. So let's dive right in, since this is a project about photography. We'll start with some photos. That there is a shift in the recovery that has occurred. Here we look at two different photos, one from around this time 2 years ago, 2005, and presently where we are today, November 2007. Back in 2005, I would ascertain that we were very much still concerned with the physical terrain of the recovery, getting the mold out of houses, rehabbing cars, clearing up the streets, getting the traffic signals working again. Well, here we find a much more localized but no less challenging terrain that we're working with, and that's the mental health terrain of the survivors, evacuees, refugees, whatever that, however you choose to classify that, for women in post-Katrina New Orleans. And this is documented both anecdotally and in a scholarly perspective in the literature. Anecdotally, we have two different healthcare providers, both of which were based in New Orleans and lived through directly the Katrina experience. First is Dr. Ventura, who indicated that New Orleans is going to confront both economic hardship and emotional distress after the storm. These two are hand in glove. This was echoed by Dr. Froelich, who went on to say that there are social and behavioral problems that will emerge in many victims after Hurricane Katrina. This isn't a novel observation. This is also found in the literature, that there is an association between natural disasters and the onset, or initial stress, but also the intensification of latent or underlying stress that was already there. This was a very interesting article that I chose to highlight individually, which was done by an Iranian researcher after the bomb earthquake in 2003, I believe. And he characterized several determinants which are found in survivors that dictate what the stress response is likely to be. These include belonging to the female gender, unemployment status, your educational level, and whether or not you experience the loss of a family member. And this is really what got the wheels turning about the Worth a Thousand Words project, is that this, pardon the bad pun, was a bit of a snapshot of what many women in New Orleans are likely to be experiencing. So how is this challenge being met? Well, there's a wide variety and a full spectrum for that, ranging from the very broad to championing and advocating for the establishment of financial, medical, and educational resources, but also some very interesting progressive and divergent interventions which drew my interest. These included exposure therapy, pharmacotherapeutics, group therapy, and even art therapy. And this was more the vein that I felt like I was looking in when I was thinking about, in my brief time as an MPH student, how would I maybe make a minor contribution to these surrounding problems. Well, what about taking pictures? This probably looks like many pictures we have in our photo albums on our coffee tables or our hard drives on our laptops. Photographs have been used goes without saying for many of us to document graduations, bar mitzvahs, birthdays, you name it, anything. And during that time, we use photographs primarily as a hobby or a pastime or some kind of repast. But there is another underlying power that I think exists in photography. Photos can be used to see things in a different way. Here we see the Berlin Wall, two totally different time periods in the history of Germany, but two photographs which show that same event, the Berlin Wall, in a totally different light. And there's a young man capturing it on a photograph, right there and then. So seeing pictures in a different way, creating feelings, such as Tiananmen Square back in the late 80s, early 90s. I was just a twinkle in my father's eye at the time of this happening, but many others in this room could probably even mention where they were, what they were eating, who they were with, or where they were going when this event took place. The same holds true for this event. Many of these photos, whether it's capturing history, creating emotive feelings, and the photographs that I'm going to show you briefly from the women who participated in the Worth a Thousand Project, had the ability to do the very same. Some of the photos, I believe, are emotive, do create feelings, and do indicate a course that we could charter for the future. So what are we saying? The pictures have worth. They're worth a thousand words. So let's dig in a little bit deeper to the project itself. Let's realize, I guess, that the transition from looking at photography as a casual pastime into a potential vehicle for social action may come as a hard step for some who are new to that kind of experience. So we enlisted the partnership of the Kid Camera Project, which is another similar NGO that has been operating in New Orleans and doing fabulous work with mostly children for stress reduction, but also artistic pursuits and creative expression. And they were kind enough to provide training for us in the following areas: power, ethics, and use of the visual image, camera usage and care, and also the introduction to the project background and purpose. The methodology of the Worth a Thousand Words was three parts. First was the photo voice technique, the Freirean practice, and the Pen 3 model. And as this was depicted pictorially, these three elements were very closely interwoven and were interdependent upon each other. I don't want to get too hung up in the theories and get onto the real heart of the presentation, which is the data, but the photo voice technique was used to provide the means by which photos were captured and interpreted. The Freirean praxis established a standard by which facilitators and participants and participants of participants interacted. And the Pen 3 model, since we produced such a large pool of responses for 12 hours worth of focus groups for 35 photos, provided a means of categorizing all those responses and presenting a blueprint for a future stress management approach. The photo voice technique was pioneered and is arguably still pioneered by Carolyn Wang at the University of Michigan, and is used to identify, represent, and enhance the world around them for the participants through photography. And this last component is particularly salient, where we look at photographs as catalyzing personal and community change. Again, getting off your coffee table and into the laps of policymakers and decision makers. So how do we interpret these photos? Once they're captured, we use something called the show tool. And this is how it worked. And we'll go through this later in the presentation for an individual photograph. But just for now, when we capture the photo, we're looking at, one, what are we seeing here? What's really happening? How does this relate to our lives? Why does this problem of strength exist that's being depicted? And what can we do about this? Again, individual and community-wide change. The second part of the methodology was the work of Paulo Freire, which some of us may be familiar with. He was a big trailblazer in working with pre-literate peasants in Brazil and reevaluating the way we look at learning and education. These are a few tenets of his ideology. Learning should change the participants. Participants aren't these empty, vapid vessels that we deposit information that we deem fit that they should receive. He tried to combat the culture of silence, looking critically at the world, and learning is a type of awakening that one undergoes, and moving from objects to subjects, again, from a passive learner to an active learner. the Penn 3 model, and if we can just hone in on these two white circles here under health education and cultural appropriateness, these were what we really utilized for the sake of worth a thousand words, is how we categorized all these responses. We wanted to see, okay, of what the participants were advocating for, would this best be carried out for the sake of stress management in a personal, one-on-one environment, an extended family, small groups, or on a neighborhood or community-wide scale. We then wanted to see of what was being said, because culture and health behavior, you can make a pretty good case, are inextricably linked to one another. Some culture beliefs have a positive effect on the how that health behavior is carried out. Some have an existential or a neutral effect, no bearing one way or the other. And some have a negative effect. They hinder or compromise one's ability to carry out health-promoting behavior. So Worth a Thousand Words is a unique combination. This has never been used, and it's a novel application of these theories and models for the sake of stress management in post-Katrina New Orleans. Okay, let's get into it then. This is the project. We had 8 women, 50 to 90 years of age, and this is the eligibility criteria. They were involved in or attended previous Tuxco events because we were entrusting them with moderately expensive camera equipment. They were in New Orleans during and after Hurricane Katrina, and once consent was gained, they received a camera, compensation at staggered time periods throughout the project, and they received a participant manual to guide them through the process. Since again, it was a new experience for some. We had a particularly long conversations about where to put the film and the digital cameras. So we did a lot of talking about, wait, there's no film. They're like, well, where do you put the film? Oh, there is no film. Well, how do I get my film developed? Well, there isn't a. So participant manual became pretty key. For each week, the beginning of the week, a prompt was given. And at the end of the week, the photographs collected based upon the prompts were interpreted and the responses were gathered. And they range from taking 3 pictures to capture daily life, and this could just be any aspect of your life, not related to stress, not necessarily related to Katrina. Now, the first prompt was, what are your assets? Looking at the strength-based approach, what are your assets for managing stress after Hurricane Katrina? The next week was, what are your needs? And the final week is looking at collective agency. What can we do together for our own stress management? So this is the part where we look at real photos taken by the participants. Some of these are very telling. You know, when we ask, what are the 3 pictures that capture daily life? And someone shows you, hey, look, this is my daily life. Having my personal possessions, my mementos, my heirlooms accumulated, as my colleague had indicated, through generations, being carried out in hefty bags. And so, remember, we weren't even asking to look at stress. We were just saying, what is your daily life? But she said, this is my daily life, through her photography. The first prompt, when we looked at what are our assets, one of the members was very active in her local Acorn chapter. And she said this was a very big asset. And the way she looked at solving not only her own housing issues, but also helping to better her neighborhood around her and their housing issues that they were facing. This photo was very, very memorable to me personally, because when we asked a participant to say, okay, if we take a picture of what our needs are after the storm, this picture was taken. On the surface level, it would be easy to think that maybe, okay, what my needs are having a good FEMA trail. But in contrast, what she had indicated through the showed tool that was applied afterwards was my need was to get out of my FEMA trailer. Not that I wanted a FEMA trailer, but I wanted to exit or leave the FEMA trailer because it was isolating me, and I felt a disconnect between being in the FEMA trailer and the senior center, which is such a vital part of my life. And this is the final photo that we're going to look at and take through the show tool and the Penn 3 categorization. What can we do for our own stress management? This picture was taken, and I won't describe it too much because we're about to do that in just a moment. So we took the photo at the beginning of the week when the prompt was given, which was a guiding suggestion, but by no means a hard and fast command of what the participants should take photos of. They were given full creative license to run amok with their cameras as much as they saw fit. And this was the showed responses which were gathered for this particular photo. What does it show? It's a picture of the senior showcase sponsored every year between the senior center and the elementary school across the street. What is happening? The senior showcase involves the community as well as the center and as well as the children. Very good, diverse social interaction. How does this relate to our lives? Well, the children are not in the numbers they were here before. This has to be done, meaning the replenishment of those numbers, for people to come back. Why does this exist? Well, after Katrina, it takes stress off of us, but off of them too. So it's mutually beneficial to both groups. What can we do? These relationships and social activity, it's just good to be around kids. I think we'd all be pretty inclined to be so critics. So, this is one photo and one set of showed responses. And what we did for all of these 35 photos that were taken was we then ran it through the PEN 3 categorization. Again, looking at if we would apply this in a stress management approach after this phase of the pilot project, would that best be done on individual, small group, or neighborhood-wide levels? And some cultural beliefs regarding what's depicted in this photo, are they exerting a positive influence, a neutral influence, or a negative influence? And the wide-speaking majority of the participants agreed that that last photo was a positive, that diverse social interaction with seniors and children. And it's more after Katrina when they implied that they appreciate it now. Yes, it was always nice, but especially after Katrina, that contact was very highly valued. Would this approach, in the forms of a stress management approach, best be implemented on an individual, small group, or community-wide setting? They had said small groups of 7 or so would be most advisable. Okay, so conclusions drawn from worth 1,000 words. Any stress management approach involving senior women in post-Katrina New Orleans should have, and we heard this echoed before, a strong faith-based or church-based element incorporated into that approach. It should celebrate New Orleans culture and heritage like New Orleans' own Mardi Gras Indians, among many others. It should have input from numerous demographic groups and geographic areas, including ones recommended such as seniors and youth or adolescents. And they strongly championed the restoration and expansion of centers for social activity and collaboration. Our overarching conclusion was that the Worth 1,000 Words pilot project did contribute positively to the recovery and betterment of this initial sample of New Orleans women. So where do we go from here? What are the next steps for Worth 1,000 Words? Sorry, my penchant for puns doesn't wane as the presentation goes on. I apologize. The next shot that we're thinking of taking is to formally present these initial findings to the participating women in the project. In keeping with the spirit of community-based participatory research, I think it was mentioned in a prior presentation that many of the population, members of the population, feel oversampled and overstudied, and there are certain behaviors which can promote that belief or that perception. But community-based participatory research goes the distance in making sure participants feel integrated, involved, and responsible for the results that are produced. So we'd like to formally present these findings and to the women who participate in the project in the form of a ceremony or a special day. We'd like to proceed with the design of stress management approach recommended by and in conjunction with those very participants, and possibly explore the application of Worth 1,000 Words to other public health issues in the New Orleans area impacted by Hurricane Katrina. It's all possible. I heard someone else asking a question about violence, about substance abuse, about breastfeeding rates. I'd be inclined to agree that Worth 1,000 Words could work very well with all of those public health issues, both the novel ones that have sprouted up after Katrina or the ones that have been dormant there for some time but are just being exacerbated by this natural disaster.